Well, good morning, everybody. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, kind of in between. What a great day to be here to worship the Lord. And we're glad that you are here and sharing this day with us. Thanks for coming. I want to say a word of thanks to Scott. My goodness, talk about throwing a guy into the fire. He jumps in the middle of Christmas season of all times, to join our staff. And we throw him in the fire, and man, what an amazing Christmas season we've had. Thank you, Scott. Thank you. And then, by the way, just so you all know, he said James isn't here today. Of course, James and Leslie are home, and they've got, I don't know, the crud that's going around. So I texted him yesterday, right? Yesterday about noon. Said, hey, guess what, Scott? Not only have you done just a great job so far, but now you got to do this tomorrow. Amazing. Thank you so much, Scott. We're excited to have you part of our team. It's an amazing blessing to be here. You know, if it weren't for guys by the name of John and Fred Work, that song we just sang, Go Tell It on the Mountain, may have been lost forever. Now, John and Fred were the sons of a choir director in Nashville, Tennessee. They were the very first collectors of African-American spirituals. And they made it their task that they were going to make a collection of those Negro spirituals that had been handed down from day to day. Now, can you imagine? Most of us can't even imagine the daunting task that was. Because, you see, back in the day when they were passing those Negro spirituals around, it wasn't something that was written down. Those spirituals were orally passed along. And so Fred and John, they did all this research. They went from town to town and place to place and plantation to plantation to get these great Christmas songs, and Go Tell It on the Mountain, one of the most beloved Christmas hymns that we sing. But if it wasn't for those two guys, we wouldn't have it. Not only that, but I mean, it's an amazing story. They review the angels, they review the message of the shepherds, they review the birth of Jesus. But I love the chorus, because there's an incredible challenge in that chorus to each one of us. That amazing challenge is that we, you and I, go tell the story of Jesus. Those of us who would sing those words aren't just singing words. It's actually a challenge to go and tell the story of the birth of Jesus. What a challenge for each one of us. There were three friends. They were pastors. They hung out a lot together. They ministered in the same small town. And one day they decided that they were going to go out and go fishing. And they kind of got out in the middle of the lake, and the one guy looked at the rest of them and said, "You know, guys, you know what? Here's the deal for me." He said, "Man, I hear people's problems every day. I talk to people who go through stuff, who deal with issues, who struggle with life and have problems." And he said, "I hear it every day." And he said, "You know the problem with you and me, with us guys?" He says, "As pastors, we don't have anybody to tell that to. You know, we just kind of take it all in, and we don't have anybody else to tell it to. We don't have anybody to share our own struggles with. We don't have anybody to tell things that are going on in our lives. We don't have anybody to tell about the hard stuff that we're dealing with. So this is a great day. We just get to be out here together and hang out and fish." He said, "I thought it'd be a really cool thing if, you know, maybe today, while we're out here in the middle of the lake, it's just you, the three of us, and it's private out here. I thought it'd be just a really cool thing if we could spend a few minutes just talking about our problems. Just share with each other what we struggle with." And the other two like, "Yeah, man, that's a great idea." And so the first guy says, "Look, I'll go first." He said, "I'll just tell you." He said, "The thing I struggle with the most in my life is alcohol." He said, it's not that I drink all the time. He says, I'm not an alcoholic. He said, but I'm kind of a closet drinker. He says, you know, I like my nip every once in a while, and it's not a bad thing. But man, I get so guilty after I do it. He said, I really need you guys to pray for me. And the other two are kind of like, whoa, okay, we'll pray for you. So the second guy says, I'll tell you what I really struggle with. He said, I really have a hard time with this. He says, I like to gamble. And he says, it's not like I do it every day. I don't go to the casinos every day. But he says, I get in this mood. Stuff happens and it just kind of overwhelms me. And I just have to go to the casinos and I like to gamble. Now, after I do it, man, I feel guilty and I'm terrible. And you guys just really need to pray for me. And they're like, wow, we would have never guessed all this stuff. Okay, we're going to pray for you. So those two guys look at the third guy and said, so what's up with you? He says, well, I struggle with gossip. He said, man, I can't wait to get home so I can go tell somebody. Wouldn't it be cool if we, like that guy, had that kind of gumption, had that kind of desire, had that kind of heartfelt passion to go and tell somebody the stories of Jesus? That we just feel compelled that we've gotta tell somebody about Jesus. It's not that we wanna tell somebody the latest gossip, or not tell somebody about our favorite teams or what's going on in the sports world, or not talk about the latest movies that we've seen, but tell the good news that Jesus loves me, this I know. And that's what that song's all about, to go tell it on the mountain, to go tell it about the story about Jesus over and over and over again. That's our responsibility. That's who we're supposed to be. That's what we're supposed to do as Jesus followers. The fact is, to be able to tell the story that God wants to be in a relationship with every man and every woman and every boy and every girl. No matter how far they might think they are from God, God loves them and God desires to be in a relationship. That's what we are supposed to be telling. Go tell it on the mountain. That's the good news. Good news that puts a smile on our face. Good news that gives us that warm, fuzzy feeling. Good news that we want to share with somebody. Good news that we are excited about. Good news that we're proud of. That's all good news. This, in these pages, is also good news. We need to open the pages of this book and read that so that we can in turn have good news to share with the world, to share with people who live in our culture, to share with our friends and our neighbors and the people that we hang out with day after day after day. It's good news that tells us, first of all, that we are some messed up people. We're broken without Jesus. It's good news that helps us know that God's love is so strong for us that He sent His only Son into this world. That He lived among humanity. That He wanted to teach the real meaning of life. That He came to pay the penalty for our sins. That's good news. He came to take the penalty for our brokenness and our messed up lives. And the good news is that Jesus is needed by everyone, regardless of who they are, where they live, what their nationality is, what their language is, or what the color of their skin is. Grab your bulletins if you set them aside. We're going to read together from your bulletin this morning. I'd say grab your Bibles, but you might have a different version, and you'd be all messed up. So we're going to read a couple of these verses in unison. There are, I don't know, five or six there on the inside to cover your bulletin, but I just want to read four of them together. The first one is that Psalm 96 passage. Read those words with me. Sing to the Lord, praise His name, each day proclaim the good news that He saves. Publish His glorious deeds among the nations. Tell everyone about the amazing things He does. Do you hear that charge to go tell it on the mountain? That we got to tell somebody the amazing things that He does. Go tell the story. From Isaiah chapter 12, read those words with me. In that wonderful day, you will sing, thank the Lord, praise His name, tell the nations what He has done. Let them know how mighty He is. The word there from John chapter 3, these are very familiar verses to us, but let's read them together. For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent His Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through Him. And then the next one, Acts chapter 1. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, you know, the temptation is to read that passage out of Acts 1 and say, well, that's cool, man. I don't live in Jerusalem. I don't live in Judea. I don't have to worry about Samaria. Well, back then, those people did. And what we do is we live in LaGrange. And we live in Oldham County. And we live in Kentucky. We live in the world in which we live. That's our job. To be a witness for Jesus in everything that we say and everything that we do. You know, if we're going to be tellers of the good news, if we're going to tell somebody this good news about Jesus, well, there's just a couple of reminders I want to offer that will help us think about how that can be maybe an easier task than we sometimes try to make it. Sometimes we try to make this sharing about Jesus so hard. Sometimes we think we've got to get it perfect. We've got to say the right words. We've got to say the right things. We've got to do it at the right time. Sometimes we can't figure out how we want to say it, so we don't say it. And I want us to talk about that just for a minute. I want to share just a couple of reminders that help us to see that it's not such a difficult task to be tellers. Somebody said to me a long time ago that a person with an experience is never at the mercy of a person with an opinion. Let me say that again. A person with an experience is never at the mercy of a person with an opinion. Listen, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of opinions about who Jesus is. There are hundreds of opinions about how you get to heaven. There are hundreds of opinions about how good is good enough. But there's one truth. One truth. There's one true story. There's one true way. And you say, well, Pastor Mike, that's so narrow-minded. Come on, really? 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 There's one way. There's one truth. The reminders I want to share this morning are not some person's opinion. They're the truth that's found in God's Word. So let's take a minute. Let's talk about these. The first reminder I wanted to share, just as we think about telling somebody, is this. To tell your story. Tell your story. It's your experience. It's my experience. Tell your story. You and I are the only ones who can accurately describe what Jesus has done for us. We are the only ones who can tell others how God has changed our lives since we surrendered our hearts to Him. And it's not an opinion. It's your story. My story. So let's tell our story. That's one way to be sure that we're telling somebody. We tell our story. Listen, I've told you before that, you know, when I was a 16-year-old kid, man, I was in Washington, D.C., and I had no inkling of who this Jesus guy was. I mean, I'd been in church a little bit, and, I'd heard the stories about Jesus, but it wasn't real to me. And I've told you before, I mean, I was there just to have fun and have a great time. And, man, God, in His mercy and in His grace, He poured out His love into my life. And I'll never forget that moment that I gave my heart to Jesus. That I said, okay, I'm done trying to do this myself. No, so there's nobody can take that away from me. There's not one person that can say, oh, that's just your opinion. Come on, yeah, come on, really? No, that's what happened to me. And what happens to me every day is I see God in new ways. Jesus shows up in my life in new and incredible ways, and this is what He does for me. He because I've surrendered my heart to Him, He leads me and He guides me as I walk in my daily life. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. Nobody can say, oh, that's an opinion. No, I'm telling you, it's my experience. It's who I am because of Jesus in my life. There's a great story in the New Testament in John chapter 9 of a guy who was born blind. And Jesus healed him. Well, the religious leaders of the day, they freaked out. What do you mean Jesus healed you? I mean, how can that be? Who's this Jesus guy? I mean, come on, really? I mean, who's he that he can be going around healing people? I love this guy's response. He says, I don't know who he is. But the one thing I do know, I was blind, and now I see. I was blind, and now I see. Listen, there was a point in my life where I was blind to the spiritual things of life. I was blind to who Jesus is. I was blind to His love. I don't know how it all works, but I know that once I was blind, and now I see. Is that your story? The passages we read a few moments ago talk about telling our story and how important that is. I love Isaiah's response. In Isaiah chapter 6, God questions him. Says, Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here I am. Send me. And my question, because that begs the question, doesn't it? Can our response be any less than that? Here's the thing. As Jesus followers, we have the opportunity and we have the responsibility to tell others what we have seen and what we have heard and what we have experienced in our journey with Jesus. An opportunity and a responsibility. The fact of the matter is, we've just got to tell somebody. Second reminder I want to share with you is unashamedly tell God's story. Because God's story is an epic story of love. I mean, to think about what God did in sending His Son. That's what we read out of John's Gospel chapter 3. That God sent His Son to live, to die, to be buried, to rise again. So that every person on this planet could have a relationship with Him. What an epic story of love. Now, if you're here today, and that sounds way weird, that God would do all that for you, if you're here today and that's like, come on, man, that's crazy. I want to tell you it's true. And if you want to know how you can be part of that story, you know, talk to one of our staff. Talk to somebody that's here that can help you kind of work through that and understand God's epic story of love in your life. You see, that's what Peter did in Acts chapter 2. He told God's story. He started at the very beginning and he told the story to the people that were gathered there in that room. And man, I'm telling you, something amazing happened, that God began to move. The Holy Spirit began to fall on people, and people's lives were changed by the thousands. Read Acts chapter 2 later today. Amazing story. When you tell God's story. Why should we feel compelled to tell the story? Because that's what Matthew 28 says. Look at that passage in your bulletins this morning. That passage is to go and make disciples. Go. Not sit and soak. Go. Tell the story. The fact is, church, we have got to tell somebody. Third reminder. When you tell your story, when you tell God's story, do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. Do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. That passage from Acts chapter 1, you will be my witnesses. And the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The power to share our stories comes because the Holy Spirit is in us. It's not about how eloquent we are, or that we might have all the good, really cool ways to frame the story. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, what we do is we pray and we say, okay, God, lead me to the... Oh, well, let me just tell you this story. When I was in college, I took a class that we were required to go out and share our faith with other people. It was a class. Do you think we prayed before we went? Heck no. Man, we can do this ourselves. We piled in the car, we went down to the nearest apartment complex, and we jumped out, and everybody looked at each other and said, all right, who's going first? I said, well, I think I've been in class. I can do this. I know the questions. And so I went, I'll never forget this. I walked up to the door, I banged, you know, knocked on the door, and this lady comes to the door, she opens the door, and I said, listen, if you were to die tonight, and you'd stand in front of, and that's about as far as I got, and the door slammed in my face, and I thought to myself, well, that didn't go so well. Why? Because we didn't allow the Holy Spirit to move and to work, and to be part of that experience. When we tell our story, when we tell God's story, it's about allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us. And be around us. We pray for the people who are in our neighborhoods. We pray for the people who are our friends. We pray for the people who are in our community. The people that we hang out with, maybe go to the gym with or associate with at school, wherever it might be. Say, okay, God, look, I don't know how this is all going to work out. But listen, if you just give me an opportunity and you'll fill me with your Spirit, I'll tell your story. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Let Him be the one who helps you into that process of telling the story. What I do know is that we gotta tell somebody. We gotta tell somebody. And the fourth reminder is this. Trust God with results. You know, I gotta tell you, man, over the years of sharing my story with people, I have been on so many guilt trips, I could get a gazillion bonus miles for traveling. You ever been on a guilt trip because you shared your faith and somebody didn't accept Jesus? Come on, really? Nobody's ever been on a guilt trip because you've shared about Jesus and that person didn't accept Christ right at that very moment. I have. A lot of them. I've shared my faith, I've shared my story, and people like look at me with I got three heads, and they don't want anything to do with Jesus at that point in time. And I'm like, okay, God, what did I do wrong this time? Listen, the results of us telling our story, the results of us telling God's story, it's not up to us. It's not up to you and me. That's God's job. God pours out His Spirit. God pours out His grace. God woos people to Himself. And I'm telling you, we just be faithful in telling the story, because here's the deal. We got to tell somebody. Got to tell somebody. There's a legend that tells about Jesus going back to heaven. And, you know, after he ascended, after he ascended back into heaven, he was having this conversation with Gabriel, the angel. And, Gabriel says, Jesus, I want to make sure I understand this. Now you're here. Who's going to tell your story on earth? I mean, who'd you leave that up to? And Jesus looked at Gabriel and said, well, there's Peter, James, John. Let's see. There's Martha and Mary. There's Priscilla and Aquila. There's Gary. There's Charlie. There's Mike. There's Marcy. They'll tell the story. And they'll tell their friends, and their friends will tell their friends, and their friends will tell their friends, until the whole world knows. And Gabriel looked at Jesus and said, do you have a plan B? And Jesus said, no. There's no plan B. Got to tell somebody. That's our job. All of us. To tell our story, to tell God's story, to allow the power of the Holy Spirit to be present within us and to leave the results up to God. That's who we are. Got to tell somebody. A month ago, on our first Sunday, I guess it was pre-Advent Sunday, I remember asking each one of us to write down a name of someone, a friend or a neighbor or somebody you work with or somebody you hang out with. And I remember asking us to pray that God would be real to that person, that somehow God would use us to tell the story, that somehow God would speak to that person. Maybe through us or maybe through somebody else. Maybe that should be our prayer continuing into the new year. Because we got to tell somebody about God, about His love, about His Son named Jesus, who loves them and cares about them. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I am so grateful for Your goodness in our lives. I'm so grateful for the story You give us to tell, for the way that You come into our lives and the way that You move and the way that You work in ways sometimes that we can't understand it, we can't orchestrate it, we can't figure it out. But God, because of the power and presence of Your Holy Spirit. And I would pray, Lord God, that You would fall upon each one of us as Your followers, that Your Spirit would move in our hearts and move in our lives, that You do a great thing and help us to tell our story faithfully in the days that are ahead. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.